Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Black women won 6 medals and represented in the 52 Olympics. Thanks to women Rudolph and Elise Coachman, black women athletes
eyes to the eyes of a black guy sleep. The television is the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black guy sleep. The television is the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black guy sleep. The television is the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black guy sleep. The television is the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black guy sleep. The television is the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black guy sleep. The television is the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black guy sleep. The television is the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black guy sleep. The television is the agony of defeat.
BlackAthlete.com. Welcome to this great episode, the GLC opening, the Garage Gray. Oh my god, 646-727-3649. That's right, BSN and the BSN Network. We're ready to go another year. You want to send news? Go to Gary and Gray at BlackAthlete.com or NorthAthlete.net. We got to you by Rose Market. At CD-133, Ocean, California, 510-235-1233. Also, New England Farmer Magazine with Dorian Wade, CEO of Boston, Massachusetts. You can check her out on Sunday afternoon with her informative guest, Radio Sounds by the Radio, and African-American News. www.downbyradio.bydjradio.com and WBON 1090 AM Chicago with Nina Jackson on the first roundtable show. It's online at www.wbon.com. Welcome, Michael Lewis Ingram, BSN, so straight in a row. Every Saturday at BrotherRadio.com. 7 to 1 Pacific to the 4 Eastern Time before me. And yeah, we got, don't come in here, don't come up in here. Keep it strong and keep it real. It's just really wrong. 718-508-9216. 9216. Get your Billy Group on. The Soul Patrol, so real and wrong. My Take Home, WCLM 1450, and WCLM RadioOnline.com with Sports Talk. Every Saturday morning with Calvin Reggie, with Tony Cobb, the G-Man, Glenn Brown, our way coach Lou Anderson. All the NBCU News and Richmond High School News. 9 a.m. Pacific at 12 Eastern. 1 year old school music. Get the P.D. Brown Get Down on the weekdays. And we cannot forget the little old busy man on a Saturday afternoon. This is WCLM 1450. And WCLMRadioOnline.com. Art and Soul, Richmond, Virginia. Pat Freeman, the mighty O-Bob of WUFO 1080, Buffalo. And we got Remember Roy Rogers with the Black Athlete theme song, CEO of BSN, and the family of BSN writers. And we get 707 and a 609 for their support. Yes, yes, yes. And we move on to our other sponsors before the show. As you know, Kathleen Wells on WCKCAA.
Hi, this is Kathleen of the Kathleen Wells Show. We've been on a full year, and it's been a fabulous run, and you're going to want to join us. In fact, right now, we're doing a series called Voices from Palestine. My executive producer, Donna Nassour, she's in the Middle East, and she's conducting interviews right now with Palestinians in the West Bank, Palestinians in Bethlehem, Palestinians in East Jerusalem. And those interviews will be played on my show. So you're going to want to join us Wednesday from 2 to 3 on KCAA right here to hear Voices from Palestine. You don't want to miss it. Join me.
Tune into One Love Radio on Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with your hosts Rhonda Harper and Imani Wilmot on blogtalkradio.com.
If you're looking for real talk on sports, politics, and other important issues, tune in to The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. L.A. Bachelor and Tony McClain look to enlighten, empower, and educate people on the topics that people are talking about, but discuss them from a social, economical, and racial standpoint. It's sports, breaking news, updates, politics, great guests, and music in between. It's The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen at www.thebachelorpad.biz. That's www.thebachelorpad.biz. Follow us at facebook.com/padnation and at pad for truth on Twitter. That's at pad number 4 truth.
Check out In Our Opinion with Southern Eagle and Steel City Storm each Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, dude, stop with the lectures, stop with the threats. Be a human being, let the guy go up there and say goodbye, for God's sake.
Rick Tocchet is another one. He pounded me probably about 4 or 5 times in my career. I never want to fight Cam Neely, never want to fight.
And I knew with the power that I possessed, well, I could tear a man's ear off. Again, only in theory because never done it yet.
How do you punish an Amish kid? Make him watch TV for 2 hours?
Sports talk, sports talk, sports talk. The way it was meant to be.
All right, wrap it up, wrap it up. The other go, join the Gold Caravan. The Soul Patrol at PadNation on Facebook.com. And tell the GLC what you want to hear, what you want to know about sports world. Also, go to your website at blackaddy.com. And get a different look on sports. Yeah. Yeah, but go. Go at 646-727-3649. Before we get there, I'm going to be known as Mr. Biggs. And my man, my little single Carly. This is my man, Biggs, I mean.
Drive me crazy, drive me on, all I've heard. only God knows what I'm gonna do. What I saw was enough to drive a preacher wild. I'm in the hall contemplating, I'm in my own damn house.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Big. It's Agent. As we go to another week, year number six in the GOC. Year number six. I hope you enjoy it. Mr. Big in the house. Major League Baseball will start tomorrow night on ESPN Texas against Houston. They're going to beat the Bears game in Texas against Houston. And from now on, every week there will be an interleague play every week because both have odd number of teams in Major League Baseball. So it forces them to do interleague play every week. The NCAA, as you know, it's about getting down to the Elite Eight in the men's tournament, and 316 in the women's. So that Cinderella is gone as golf coach Florida that night. And the NCAA being a full tongue. When it says it was to protect student athletes. Why do they say that when you have 9-30 games on a weekend? As an example, last week, when the Blue Devils of Duke played the Creighton Blue Jays Sunday night, all these students had to go to class Monday morning, right? The Blue Devils had a half-hour car ride back to their college, while the Great Blue Jays had a three-and-a-half-hour ride back to Creighton, back to Nebraska. And the NCAA said it's a student, it protects a student. Why do they have a 9:30 game local time? You better get it right, NCAA. The Blue Jays and Blue Devils ended the game at midnight Eastern Standard Time. And we all know why. March Madness. The NCAA won the TV contracts. And want all the games to be broadcast. So we have their games. And the marquee game. Another issue is the Lady Blue Devils, who hosted the Hampton Lady Pirates last week in Cameron Indoor Stadium with their very rude behavior. Razor overtones, taunting. Now, if you're a host of the NCAA game, don't you think you'd be nice to the other team? And then they have the marching man was too loud. And the cheerleader taking over the floor. Oh, wait a minute. And we all know that as time out, each cheerleader get a time to go out and cheer. But what are you talking about? The Hampton Lady Pirate cheerleaders were just doing their job. And the band was playing the Hampton song. Then you have a problem with that. Go to a neutral site. Hello? But the NCAA continues to have the upper seeds in the Lady Tournament at a home court advantage. When's the last time did you see the UConn Huskies play outside of their region with a 1-2 seed? Hello? And play in Connecticut at their home floor. The NCAA's got a lot of work to do with the Lady Tournament. I think they need to rethink that repetition on Tuesday. The Yankees finally get another player, Roto Wells, and the Anaheim Angels, and it's interesting because the Yankees are falling apart at the seams. Tuesday, star free safety for the lead for the UCLA Bruins football program. Kevin McDonald will not be wearing, baby blue and gold as he broke team rules. Also, Jerry Rice Jr. will be transferring out of UCLA. Something going on with the UCLA program. I don't know what it is, I can't tell you, but something going on with that program. The UCLA Bruins hockey team, the UCLA Bruins football team is in serious trouble. But you got people transferring, like Jerry Rice, and getting cut like Tom McDonald. UCLA need to look at its own house and get it clean. On Tuesday, the Los Angeles Kings visited the White House with President Obama and gave President a new jersey with the LA Kings jersey, number 44 on it. So congratulations to the LA Kings, he gave a jersey to me. So, okay. 804, 804
in the house. Remember, Calvin Reddy, the Cowboys. What do you say, Big G? How you doing, my main man? Happy holidays to you and to your illustrious
Thank
staff
you.
And also your listeners, my friend.
Blessings to you, too. Happy holidays, Richmond, Virginia.
Thank you, sir. But, you know, if I could, Gary, I kind of want to kind of open a broad brush, if I may, when it comes to hypocrisy, not only the NCAA, but when it comes to we as fans. As I told Michael earlier, see, there's a reason why when you have Sylvester Croom, who was the first black coach in the SEC, was told by members of his alma mater that he could not be the coach of Alabama because he was too black. It's a reason why when President Obama went to Arizona to speak, and they told him they did not want to give him an honorary doctorate degree, and we still send our youth there to play football and basketball. If you don't believe me, look at the basketball game yesterday.
Oh, I see that. Arizona State, Arizona Central, all these schools have African American players. I'm thinking, why are you there? Why are you in Arizona with that law?
Because we don't love ourselves. We don't respect ourselves. Again, when you have the Jews out there that would tell people, never forget the Holocaust. Don't you dare forget. And they will back it up with not only their mouth, but their economic brand. We so busy with the mothers out there cheesing on TV with their babies because they're going to college, and they don't know that after that 1 year, they bust their knee up. Guess what, mommy? You got to get together, and y'all get stuck with that $20,000, $30,000, or $50,000 price tag that's for 1 year for that institution, if not more.
Reggie, if black players did not go to Arizona or Arizona State or Northern Arizona, trust me, that law would be gone. They all would be gone at I think once. But because
I can tell you right now,
we don't think politically, Arizona State had five starting black players. Five.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And remember, Ole Miss had that old colonel. They finally retired, and the rebel flag. You know why they did it? Because they said they was worried about recruiting. They weren't worried about doing what was right. They was worried about doing the dollar thing, recruiting. And again, we don't hold ourselves accountable. So if we a joke, if we take the few sentences that they throw at us, why do you think they treat us the way they do? Because we don't respect ourselves. And then when people do come out, why y'all talking that black stuff, man? Y'all need to just shut up and go ahead and let them do what they want to do. Do you think the Jews would let them do that? No.
we have to respect ourselves. We don't do that either.
Thank you. Hey, in D.C. right now, Gary, they have shut so many schools down over the last 8 years of public schools. Some group has gotten tired and said, we're going to sue the city of D.C. We're going to sue the district, because every time you guys claim this is going to help us, it has hurt the youth and also the inner city, and they're tired of it. But, yeah, you know, most people, we just stand there, go and get along. But I tell you one thing, you go on your airways and make an anti-Semitic remark or make something about a gay person, brother, you wouldn't be on within an hour. They would shut you down. And, by the way, for all you Michael Bazin fans out there that are standing there laughing at what he does, but right now that brother's off the air. They're doing reruns. Why? Because when him and his group went to the office, they was locked out. If you don't believe it, go to richmondvoice.com, and the article is right there. And I say that, Gary, because I'm saying, please, man, please, sir, support Gary and his shows, because I'm telling you, now I'm getting the raw truth for shows like this, because I tell you what, I would not be surprised if Michael Bazin would not be back on the air.
Well, you know, I have a promo about children of a Palestinian playground in Palestine.
Yes, sir.
I ran the promo about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, I've been getting some really strange emails. And it's like, I'm talking about children. I don't care about what you know. Children need to go out and play. Children need mm-hmm. playgrounds. That's what the commercial was about. It's not political. It's about Palestinian kids who want to play. Okay?
Yeah, it taxed you too, didn't it?
Because I had a commercial. You know, oh, you're anti-Israeli. No, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I am pro-Palestinian.
But thing is, though, Gary, they will go ahead and challenge you. They won't let it slide. But, yeah, we had Greenberg on the mouse that come on Samuel Vicunde, and you have people like Charles Brown and other black players come up and say he was just kidding. It's no big deal. But, yeah, you make an anti-Semitic remark, just like Jemele Hill did, make sure the article about the Pistons, Detroit Pistons in basketball, and their hated rival Boston, and made a remark about something to do with Hitler. Guess what? Her black ass gets put in the street.
Well, last night, a player, a white player, and the white announcer said, "Well, it didn't hurt him that much."
But Big G, love you, man. Happy holidays to the crew, man. Keep up the good work,
thank you,
man.
Thank you, brother. I hope you have a good one.
All right,
take care. I hope we got a drive. We're going to get right out here. And come already with WCNM 4DDD. Richmond, Virginia. Hard soul of Richmond, Virginia. Gotta get that by. We move over to the news of the week. The U.S. tied Mexico 0-0. I got to do it right. 0-0 in Mexico, where never won a match in Mexico. The U.S. tied Mexico in the American division of the World Cup finals. So it looks like the Americans will qualify for the World Cup next year. I think the women will play in a couple months. If they can qualify too, I think they will. I wonder if Osorio will be goalie again. It's a good question. Will Osorio, at age 36, be the goalie for the U.S. women's soccer team? On Tuesday, the Pittsburgh Penguins got depth with defenseman Brandon Morrow, and the Penguins are way ahead of everybody else. They get Brandon Morrow from the Dallas Stars as trade deadline ends on Tuesday. Trade deadline ends as rumors fly around Calgary Flames, Jerome England, and now a Pittsburgh Penguin. And that means the Pittsburgh Penguins have four complete lines. And nobody's gonna beat the team. It's been very difficult to beat the Pittsburgh Penguins now. They're a 14 game winning streak. And they're catching their own record. Pittsburgh, the 1992-93 Pittsburgh Penguins. Mario Lemieux, who ran up 17 games in a row. Tonight they'll be number 15 for the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Dallas Stars are also rumored to trade Jaromir Jagr, who is rumored to be going to the New York Rangers or New Jersey Devils. He looked nice in the Devil uniform. And San Jose Sharks, Danny Boyle is on the trade block. With goalie Roberto Luongo, the Vancouver Canucks. And Luongo might be hard to trade because he has no trade contract. And everybody is satisfied with their goalie position in the NHL right now. So Roberto Luongo might be staying in Vancouver because I don't see them getting anything for Roberto Luongo. Jason Campbell, yeah, the X-Raider, will be wearing a Cleveland Brown uniform next year as he goes with the Chicago Bears to the Cleveland Browns. And the AFC North Division is becoming a bear of a division. The 26-game winning streak by the Miami Heat is broken by the Chicago Bulls. Chicago has been in the news all week long as the Bulls rub up the Miami. I think it was a good thing that the Heat lost that game, because now they can focus on winning the Eastern title and the NBA championship. On Thursday, the big trade of the year so far, the NHL. Jerome Engle will be going to Pittsburgh. And Iggy, a nickname for you guys. Iggy always needed a center. It would be great if he had a center. Well, in Pittsburgh, he got a center. So, watch the first couple games with the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's like when Ray Bourque went with the trainer for the Colorado Avalanche. And the Avalanche won the Stanley Cup. Well, I think this is going to be the same thing with Jerome Engle and the Pittsburgh Penguins. The NHL second black captain in the NHL ever. And the Penguins continue to roll with 14 straight wins. Trying to catch Super Mario and the Mario Lemieux Penguins. And somebody please call and tell me what is going on with the New York Football Giants and the Oakland Raiders. They are waving people left and right. As Carson Palmer, wants out of Oakland. Really? Really? You went by the red, see there, Carson. We don't need you. The black is over. We don't need you here. Well, the Giants, it's Ahmad Bradshaw and Yoshi Yoramura are looking Falcons and the Giants. I don't know if people have the right. I don't understand what they're doing up in New York or New Jersey. The NCAA during the second week has more favorites going down. Only one, number one, standing, that's Louisville. And they might get beat tomorrow. Or at the end of the day. We'll see. And the first two rounds was the worst tournament I've ever seen. These guys cannot pass. They cannot run. They don't have to run plays. And it's because the one-and-done rule is really affecting the NCAA basketball tournament. Big ups to the Missouri Valley. The Missouri Valley got the Wheat Chuggers of Wichita State. And they defeat LaSalle of Philadelphia, 32-58. Big rebounding. And big art. I had to root for both of these teams because I root for the Valley teams. I root for Philadelphia area teams. So it was a tough game to watch. So both teams are on my side this year. And Abu Dhabi goes up against the Black and Gold because they have a big front line. If the Wichita Wheat Chuggers go on, it'll be the first time since 1999 a Valley school has gone to the Final Eight. And that was the Indiana State Sycamores under Larry Bird. It's 1979, 78, 79. With the Larry Bird, Indiana State Sycamores was the last time a Missouri Valley team I made it to the Elite Eight. I hope they do it tonight. We will see. Syracuse beat Indiana. 61-58. And 15, I love this lake. Both of these teams have egos. Both of these teams have outrageous coaches. I have to give big ups to Coach Boeheim, the way he used the trap zone. Did a good job of trap zone in the regional finals. He's playing right now against Marquette. The game started about 8 minutes ago on CBS. It's Marquette against Syracuse. And Marquette to break that zone, Syracuse will lose. But I think Syracuse is going to move on. The Wildcats of Arizona is the last team in the West and one of the surprises of the tournament. As the Buckeyes beat the Wildcats, and the Buckeyes stayed in a Lakers locker room, and they were all happy. The Lakers, they were in the champion locker room. And the first time the NCAA has used the Staples Center, and I think after this year, I think it's going to be a regular West Coast destination, because the San Jose, HB Pavilion is much smaller than Staples Center in LA. So we might be seeing regional finals in the Staples Centers in the years to come after this year. Okay, guys, you know what day it is. It's Friday. You do your homework? Did you support black businesses? Did you buy black? If not, that's your homework for next week. my back. Okay, what day is it? It's March 30th, and New York baseball fans already whining. The New York Mets lost pitcher Johan Santana for the year. I think that might be the last time the Mets signed Santana. I think it might be the end of his career. The Mets gave away R.A. Dickey, and now their ace is Dylan G. Oh, right, yeah. Dylan G is your ace? Good luck with that. The Yankees do no better, but the guy is Derek Tita. Not doing well, he's still injured. Ankle not doing that well. And the Yankees are missing 271 home runs they had last year and not playing this year. You can't replace 271 home runs. The Yankees are going to depend on defense to win this title. And with the American League East Division, it's going to be tough with the Toronto Blue Jays, Baltimore Orioles. I don't know, guys. It's going to be a tough division to win this year. I want to congratulate our sisters in Maryland Eden Shore, as Maryland Eden Shore win their sixth time bowling champion. Lady Hawks defeated the Hampton Lady Pirates in Chesapeake, Virginia. Lady Pirates defeated Florida A&M in the semifinals to meet Maryland Eden Shore in the championship. Maryland Eden Shore took the title, and the Hawks will move on to the national tournament for the 10th time. The GOC will keep track of the Lady Hawks, and they're bowling for their second national title. We commend them. And this team is just super bad. They just roll and roll and roll. They also rewarded the outstanding coach of the year, Christina Ram, and player of the year, Andy Ramirez. I was Andy Ramirez on a video on a YouTube video. Andy Ramirez is one of the best female bowlers I've seen in a long time. So good luck to Lady Hawks of Maryland Eastern Shore. They're sixth MEAC Bowling Championship. For you guys who like hockey, it's the beginning of the Frozen Four. It's equal to basketball's March Madness. I'm just going to give you 10 teams because they're 14. And usually we have the old guards and the upstarts, as usual. The Bobcats are Quinnipiac. The University of Minnesota is Golden Gophers, number 2. The University of Mississippi Low River Hawks. And the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame, the first 5 of the Frozen 4. The next 5 are Miami University Red Hawks. Of course, the old guard of the Golden Eagles of Boston College. University of New Hampshire Wildcats. And North Dakota, but they used to be called the plays too, and they don't take the mascot and the uniform. And it's wearing the green with the North Dakota name on it now. You know what the Denver Pioneers? Now after that last 10, and we can't forget the Purple Eagles of Niagara. There's six more teams, but the most notable are University of Wisconsin Badgers and the Yale Bulldogs. And as they get down to the Final Four, this week is the opening round of the hockey tournament, so we'll know after Tuesday who's out and who's in. I'll keep track of that too as we move on. Okay. You don't know what time it is.
I forgot New Mexico State was part of that. That's a long time ago.
Long time ago. Louisville was in that conference. Memphis State, Memphis University.
Right.
So it was a really good conference back in the 70s, but they all broke up.
Interesting, for real.
I gotta ask you about the Jerome Ingram trade to Pittsburgh and what it does to the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Calgary Flames.
Well, as we stated in the piece that we just ran that you'll find on Black Athlete, the Popsicle Brothers fourth column, Gimla has a major upside coming into a shortened season where the playoffs are all the incentive one needs to get going. We know that he soldiered for years as the captain of the Calgary Flames, the second black captain after Dirk Graham, to have the C on his chest. Also, the all-time scorer in the Flames' storied history. You know, if he's not Flame number one, he surely has to be doggone close, although I can't think of anybody, Nieuwendyk, Lanny McDonald, Kiprusoff, nobody. Jerome Gimla is not only Gold Brother number one, he's Calgary Flame number one. So when the Calgary Flames were foundering like they were, you know, 14th place in the West, one thing that I like about the NHL is that they make these concessions because they know the guys who have slugged for the league and been good citizens and played well and played hard, you know, the front offices kind of know, you know, these cats need to get rewarded. And it's no doubt that Jerome has been, for years, known as one of the nicest guys in the league. And, you know, he is a bellwether of the league because he has held up a franchise that was very much close to going the way Winnipeg did when they ended up losing their fan base and didn't have enough money to get the people that they needed in there, and they ended up moving to Phoenix. So
this trade remind me of the Ray Bourque trade from Colorado.
Exactly.
That remind me of. I hope it ends well with Ingram getting a Stanley Cup, because this man deserves the cup because of what he's done for Calgary and the Calgary Flames.
Well, I think he got also robbed a bit, because if you remember, at the time of the 2004 season, Jerome Gimla was arguably the power forward in the National Hockey League.
I mean,
Calgary beat Vancouver, beat everybody that they had to beat to get to the final, where they had the Tampa Bay Lightning, and everything looked as if Calgary was going to get that ring then, or get the cup then, but Tampa Bay came back and beat them in seven games. But the long and short of it, you know, had there been a 2005 season, Calgary would have been close to a favorite because they had just started to gel. They had a kid there whose name I couldn't remember until I saw it as I was doing some digging, Christian Huselius, who really was a very talented
player.
But when Calgary transitioned to Mike Keenan, like a lot of Canadians in the coaching ranks, had a prejudice about using their kids, meaning Canadian kids, as opposed to some of the European kids who had different skill sets and wasn't perceived as being as tough as the Canadian kids. So that whole dynamic changed, and Calgary lost some steam. But here we are, just like you said, as in the Ray Bourque deal, where Bourque was one of these players that really did a service to the league by being a great citizen as well as being a great player. And now that Gimla is with Pittsburgh, I mean, offensively, they are armed to the teeth. I mean, you know, when you look at, if you have to give their front office some credit, because when you consider that they had arguably one of the three best players in the league, and if Evgeny Malkin out for as long as they did, well, Pascual Dupuis picked up his game and he started playing better. You know, they've got four lines that can do damage, and I don't mean just one that's a checking line and do all of that. They all can score. And I wouldn't call them the second coming of the Edmonton Oilers, but they definitely have a lot of potential firepower there because Marc-Andre Fleury is no Grant Fuhr. But when you can score like that, you don't. Sorry, when you can score like that, you don't have to do anything but just make sure you don't let in the lazy goals or the bad goals, and you should be handling your business.
You know, I knew they were serious when they traded for Brandon Morrow. I said, "Oh, look out! He's good.
Well, you know, not just Brandon though, Gary. They got Brandon Morrow from the Stars, and then they picked up Doug Murray from your San Jose Sharks.
Yep.
And this time of year, as we get to the trade deadline, you know, usually scoring isn't the problem with the teams that think they're going to be in the playoffs. It's defending that's the problem. So defensemen are always the high priority. So getting somebody like Murray is an intriguing move. And as my Flyers were just able to get over past the Bruins 3-1, it was rumored that Gimlin had been pretty much shipped off to Boston, but he had final say over where he was going to go, and that shifted it to Pittsburgh, where he has had success with Sidney Crosby from the Olympic days.
I am so glad he did not go to Boston. I would not be happy with Boston Bruins. Being a New York Ranger fan, I would be very upset if he go to Boston.
Well, I'll be honest. I really don't like the idea of a Gimlin putting on a Penguins jersey because my Fly guys. But I'm a Gimlin fan, and I want him to get his ring. So I'll excuse him this one time because I want Iggy to get his ring. But you know, if somehow, and we can't just write it off to the Penguins because Winnipeg, as we predicted, has become a factor. Pavlik has grown up. I think he's ready for prime time now. Evander Kane is playing lights out. Dustin Byfuglien is just totally immovable back there. And when he decides he wants to roll, nobody's going to stop him. He's effective down low. He's effective on the power play. He's just all around a much better player than people give him credit for. And the fact that Winnipeg has him and Kane locked up is a good nucleus. Wheeler has played well. Little and Ladd have started to come around. So you got a whole bunch of cats, including Bogosian, Antropov. These guys are ready for prime time. I think they may be a fly in the ointment now that they're first in the Southeast Division. If they hold the number 3 spot into the playoffs, I will not be surprised to see them win at least one series. And after that, who knows? But with Pittsburgh lined up the way they are, they're scary. And we know from the Olympics that Crosby and Gimla saved the lives of millions of Canadian citizens because, you know, they helped them get the golden goal, which bailed them out, and nobody jumped over the bridge and whatnot in the Olympic victory over the U.S. Because I can tell you, a lot of folks would have lost their mind had the outcome been otherwise. I was in the house with my middle daughter and her family when Parisi scored the tying goal, and it was like, you know, the old Three Stooges when they get the slap all the way across. Everybody got slapped like that because they were like, oh, shoot. And then, of course, you know what happened. They won, but everybody got real quiet.
No. Michael, what is going on in New York and New Jersey? These two teams are underachieving. I don't think
anyone's going to
make the first round.
Well, I don't know about underachieving as much as, you know, we can't make excuses for the shortened season because everybody's got to play. But when you really look at it, some teams have been more affected by injuries than others. And we also know that some teams, many of their players were abroad in Europe, playing in some of the shorter seasons and stuff, and when they came back, they simply weren't ready for prime time. And as we go through all of this stuff, you know, we have to remember, just because you have the talent doesn't mean it doesn't gel. And I think this is another reason why Pittsburgh's move was important. They didn't wait till the last minute. I mean, they all can play the game, but, you know, you look at all that firepower that Pittsburgh's got. How are you going to regulate that sometimes? You got to wonder. You have to wonder. How are you going to look at all of this? Because it really is a lot of hardware out there. You put four lines out there knowing that any of those lines could do damage, that's scary, bro.
Well, I was going to think of what NBC is going to do the last 3 weeks because NBC is known to broadcast Detroit, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going down to the end of the road. They've been broadcasting more West Coast teams because I think the races are much closer in the West than they are in the East.
You know, that's a good point. You know, that is interesting. The programming is going to matter. Well, obviously, the theme has been streaks all season long.
Yep.
You have Chicago, who's been winning seemingly every game, although Sugar Ray lost last night
for the first time.
You know, but Chicago's been streaking consistently throughout the season. Now we got Pittsburgh, I think 13 or 14 in a row and whatnot now. So they're kicking ass. And now, in the middle of all of that, you've got little efforts like the progress made in Winnipeg. And for all of the winning that they've done in Chicago, them damn Ducks out there in Anaheim are just holding the fort.
Oh, talk about
damn,
it, Doug. Don't say a word. Don't say a word, Doug, okay?
They're keeping us. No, they're keeping the heat on them. You know, the Ducks are just cooking. And when you consider what the Ducks are doing, you know, it's like any team at this point with the record that they've had, you would think, okay, well, we could coast. You really can't coast.
Nobody can coast.
These folks are just staying steadily on it. They're not letting up on anything.
Nope.
And because they're not letting up, it may be a good thing for Chicago, but you look at those standings, to your point, the Rangers might have an outside shot at getting in. The Islanders would really be an upset if somehow they got in. And
I hope they do. I hope they do because I think we need to see a new face in the playoffs. I would love to see Islanders in the playoffs.
Well, you know, let's be real here. This is the old being new again. We highlighted this in the previous Popsicle Brothers column that some of the original six. We're finally back in business here.
Yep.
I mean, it hasn't been said, but you better believe everybody in Toronto are happy as pigs and you know what. Because it looks like the Maple Leafs will finally get in. And it's been like 8 years for these guys.
Yep.
You know, of all the franchises, in spite of what everybody sees on the ice, the Maple Leafs are still the most valuable franchise in the league. Because of their being in Canada, because of their background, and all of the fact that all of those years of not getting the playoffs didn't stop their fan base. Their fan base is beyond rabid. So anytime the Leafs are involved and they've been out of the postseason for as long as they have, to know that they may get in, and it looks like they are fairly secure, although anything's possible. The look is that they'll get in this time, and Nassim Kadri is the real deal, their center. He's an awesome player. You got Mark Fraser there representing the Gold Brothers in the defense.
Man.
They have a shot to get in. And, of course, Buffalo on the outside looking in is going to be interesting to see what they do. Now, what have we said has always been the problem with teams like the Washington Capitals, goaltending, right? Even to the extent of the Flyers, you know, Bisgalov is shaky. Goaltending could be their issue as well. If Ryan Miller gets traded, that will be a major move. And if Ryan Miller ended up in Washington right now, they would make the Capitals a dark horse, for real.
Okay, man.
Because we know they got the firepower. Washington's problem has always been stopping pucks.
What about, Roberto Luongo has been dangling out there too with Vancouver Canucks.
That's intriguing. Well, see, now we have to see if B follows A, because if Ryan Miller does get traded or if he gets rented out or whatever the deal is and whatnot, then it will be a question of Luongo or Schneider in Vancouver
or Yeah.
Or Jonas Hiller out in Los Angeles. Anaheim, excuse me.
Yeah.
Even though he's backing up, he was beaten out by Vitor Fast, and if Vitor turns out to be the guy, or Victor rather, Hiller could be trade bait. You know? And Hiller's still
a
quality goaltender, as well as Mika Kiprusoff in Calgary.
Yeah, but Kiprusoff said last week, he's not going anywhere.
Well, yeah, that's why it makes sense they have to leave something in the kitty, but still, you know, Jerome could well be just rented for a year, as is another aspect of the trade deadline that I like, because they know that he's a mainstay for Calgary. Obviously, no matter what, he'll retire as a Flame. He'll go into the Hall of Fame as a Flame, and everything else that goes with it. But Calgary needed stuff for their larder. Maybe they should have pulled this trade a year or two sooner when he still had the kind of value that would warrant more. They got two prospects on a number one draft choice this year for him.
Right.
But Calgary needs so much more. And if he comes back to them to help develop somebody like an Akeem Aliyu, who's still down there in the minors, who's a big strapping kid at 6'4", could be another Agema if he was motivated properly. You know, we'll see. But as far as the ring, I want Iggy to get the ring. But if he's playing Chicago and Sugar Ray is their starter in the net, that's a hard one, G. That's a hard one, because you got to remember also, Jamal Mayers is playing for the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
And he has yet to have his name on Stanley's Cup. Obviously, Bufflin got his last year, and Johnny Oduya would be the first brother to get his name on the Cup, even though he won't be the first Swede. You know,
right.
It'd be nice to see him on there as the first defenseman. Oh, no, excuse me, second defenseman in Bufflin to get the Cup.
My next question to you: Do you like the realignment of the NHL?
I like the realignment. I like the realignment. It makes things geographically feasible.
Right.
You know, I never liked that whole premise of stuff like the Arizona Cardinals being in the NFC East.
Yep.
Damn well, they ain't got no business being in the NFC East.
Yep.
I like the snowbird aspect of some of the teams up north. Up north and the teams down in Florida, you know, that's still reasonable, and you still kept the traditional rivals intact and everything. I like the fact that Winnipeg will come back east where they belong, and Detroit will come back, or rather, Winnipeg will go west where they belong, and Detroit will come back east where they belong.
Yeah.
So there's some stabilizing things there that make it easier for everybody. And if the talent is playing up to the level that we've seen over the last 2-3 years, then it's good for everybody, and it will help teams to play on an even or a more even keel, because they will have their areas, their sections, and their biorhythms won't be so disrupted as often as we see where teams go, you know, east to west or west east long distance back and forth, and that it directly affects their play.
Did Iggy get through with the immigration thing? Because he couldn't go to America because of the immigration stuff. Did he get that cleared this week?
I'm sorry?
Iggy has immigration.
Yeah, he's clear. Stuff. Iggy's clear. He's actually in uniform now, so he's
okay.
He's officially wearing number 12, as he should be. That would have been intriguing if he had gone to a team where 12 had been taken by somebody else.
They
would have changed up. Because remember, Bork had sported 77 for the longest time when he came to the Bruins. And then he had to change up. Well, actually, no. Wasn't it the other way around? I'm going
to
stand
corrected. Anyway, when he went to Colorado, he was 77.
Okay, that's right. And then came to the Bruins and stuff. And then Phil Esposito did that nice thing that he did. And stuff.
He did say that. Esposito in New York. When he went to New York, he wore 77. In New York. Esposito came to New York because Brad Park at 11.
Mm-hmm.
For the Raiders.
Well, I'll say this much. This is the coolest time of the year for me because I want to see. I think when fans see this, when they see teams making trades, and I feel for the Calgary fans because they know, okay, we have to rebuild.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know that one day we'll get our captain back to, you know, to give him props for helping keep the franchise here. But for the teams that are loading up, you know, you got to wonder. The fan base is even more excited. Pittsburgh was already excited. And now, even though they were probably worried about Philly kicking their behind, you know, now they got Iggy, and they picked up a big defenseman and another linemate in Brendan Morrow. So the fan base is juiced. And you know they're juiced in Winnipeg. You know Chicago's fan base has been steady. And of course, Anaheim. So now all the teams that know they got a shot, this is where things ratchet up even more. And I think because of this aspect, that's what makes hockey even more exciting coming into the playoffs. Because we know playoff hockey is going to be all about skill and less about, you know, trying to gorilla your way into beating people up and stuff like that.
Well, currently, Danny, the Rangers are 3 points behind the Detroit Devils. And nine games to go, and the Carolina Hurricanes are at 32 points. I don't think Carolina's going to make it. Neither is Washington.
No.
They're 14 with 31 points, including your Flyers.
Yep.
So that's gonna be in the West, it's like a traffic jam. when the Phoenix Coyotes at 33 and they were 38 in seventh place, so you have like 16 that they could get in at 1 week because San Jose. Finally, the San Jose Sharks look like the old San Jose Sharks with Thornton scoring the last couple of games. It's going to be interesting. Very interesting. Good to see you, my brother. Mikey there. I got Michael Ingram. Okay, we got to find out where he is. Where'd he go?
Yeah, I am.
Mike, okay, you back?
Yep, I got put in the penalty box.
Where'd he go? Okay. But yeah, the other day it was good with the Thornton Bobrovsky. Bobrovsky's body scoring goals again, which... I wait for those guys to break out. They find this last couple of games, they finally scored.
It'll be interesting, G. I know you want the boys, the Teal, to get in there, but, you know, because everything has been about streaks since the season started, I'm waiting to see now, as we're getting close to last licks, who's going to have the last streak. You know, we know Pittsburgh's currently on one, but you look at everything, somebody's going to have to win 6 or 7 games in a row. And I don't mean just pick up 1 point. I'm talking about straight wins.
They had to run.
They're going to need a run of at least 12 points, you know, before they get down to the last 3 or 4 games of the season to upset the apple cart and get in. So it all depends on who gets that last run that's going to make all the difference in the world. If you can't do that, you're in a whole world of trouble. And from the standings, you know, we know Pittsburgh's in, we know Montreal and Boston are in. Ottawa, they're likely in, and Toronto, they're scraping by. Winnipeg, because of the alignment and whatnot, lucked up in the Southeast, even though they are playing credible hockey.
Yeah, yeah.
If they get in and hold their spot, they will be a force to be reckoned with because they're catching on something late here. But the West, Chicago, we know is in. Vancouver looks in. Anaheim's in. Minnesota might be a bit of a threat if they get going. Now, Minnesota's one of those teams that I'm thankful might be getting on one of those streaks in late in the season. They might upend Vancouver in the Northwest. Devin Setoguchi has been playing very well. We highlighted him in a previous column, and, you know, the Minnesota Wild, many insiders thought they would play well, but if a team might be on a roll and get that last surge, I think the Wild might be the one that
fits that
script.
Mm-hmm.
At least in the West.
All right, now, about this basketball stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the NCAA, is the most dick-dazzly, as you call it, dick-dazzly organization. These guys say that, look, it's a student, and one particular student, right, and they, okay, then they go and play games, they get 9:30 at night. What are you talking about? You go play 9:30 at night?
That's right.
And the kids go to school the next day. Come on.
That very statement exposes their hypocrisy, G. You know, that they would come out late at night like that, knowing doggone well that you're going to try to give us some rah-rah, sis-boom-bah BS about them being student athletes. You're pipping these kids out. And damn what their grades are, because they were there to make you money. Whether it's a big program or a small program.
But then with the new rules, you gotta have a two point five grade average. Look, stop playing games. You want the kids to have a 2.5 grade point average, and yet you have to play games 9:30 at night. I mean, come on, you can't have both ways here.
Exactly, but it's even worse than that, G. Because I was more annoyed by the Gottlieb statement, you know, when he comes out talking this BS as the NCAA is doing their little basketball in-house
promo nonsense.
You know, Gottlieb comes off with this, well, let me lend my white man's perspective. I'm like, say what? Now, you can give me all that BS you want about it's a joke. That's bull. Because when somebody white reacts like that, that's just straight penis envy right there. You know, you're stating the obvious. Well, there's four black guys, now there's white guys coming out here. So, well, what Doug Gottlieb is trying to say is, well, you know, mine might not be as big as they are, but I'm the white guy, so I have more credibility. And that's the kind of nonsense that we hear the Mouse and other news agencies drum out every doggone day.
Michael, did CBS suspend him? They shouldn't have suspended him, but they should have, and Charles Barkley coming on and alibying for him, saying,
well, you know, Doug Gottlieb's a good guy. It's a joke. Y'all just get on over it. And it's the same guy that said, I'm not a role model. No, you're not a role model. But you are a dumb, you know what?
I get tired of the Uncle Tom Negroes in this country.
That's right.
No, you know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Charles Barkley's one of them. And see, what's happening is, The media, the sports media, is usually people like Charles Barkley. They get their agenda across. And Charles Barkley is somebody trying to get paid instead for the job.
I find it infuriating, Gary. I really do. Because they'll excuse these folks. And I'm only bringing up Gottlieb, not just because he's a little gnome, but because of the other stuff that comes from this. When you think about Barkley and when he talks about he's not a role model, it's like, I would agree 1,000%. In many ways, I'm serious, because in many ways it's the most intelligent thing that any athlete has ever said.
That's right.
Because the full statement was, I'm not a role model. Your parents should be your role models. If anything's going to be applicable with those two words, it should be your parents. I agree 1,000%.
That's right.
You know, but Charles went downhill from there because he balances that wisdom sometimes with just some plain inanity, and there's no way you can justify alibi for Gottlieb. Let me put some white man's perspective. When you turn on ESPN, what the hell do you think you see is nothing but white man's perspective on ESPN, regardless of what color it is that the commentator is across the area?
As the African American public needs to say enough is enough. Red round
But they're not going to get used to it, Gary, and that's exactly why out in your hometown, your scrub du jour, Carson Palmer, is being talked about being traded to another team for another scrub.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you're going to
yeah,
go scrub,
yeah.
scrub, because now the last rumor was Kevin Cobb might be coming over there. And we already know Kevin Cobb can't play over here.
Mm.
And you already know he can't play over there.
Yeah.
So what good is he going to do to Raiders? And if he truly thinks he's going to compete for a starting job after Carson Palmer's gone, if they don't give that kid, Terrell Pryor, a fair shot at the job, then screw the Raiders and everything they're supposed to be about.
The Raiders are trying to devoid themselves the Al Davis regime. That was this
yeah.
about. They're trying to get rid of all the Al Davis people.
Mm-hmm.
It's slowly occurring. And week by week, there are more Davis drafted than leaving Oakland.
Exactly.
Now what's going to happen is the Raiders are going to be in last place again in the West because they have no defense whatsoever. And,
yep.
and now you have Mr. Smith and Kansas City. That
mm-hmm.
really puts me in a hole in last place in the West Division, AFC West Division.
Exactly. Well, look. As far as I'm concerned, if they're stupid enough, after they saw the level of Kevin Cobb's incompetence, to truly believe he can quarterback their team, well, good luck, brother. We know otherwise. when you know that they gave a $10 million contract to Matt Flynn to not even be on the field, and he couldn't beat out Russell Wilson, well, in all honesty, there are at least 20 quarterbacks in this league that couldn't have beat out Russell Wilson, but we digress. Everybody knows what we already knew. But having said that, you're going to look at a Vince Young and say he doesn't belong in the league when he's won more games. And this ain't brag. This is fact. Vince Young's won more games since he's been in the league than everybody else that's been drafted by that same time frame, with the exceptions of Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco. So when you consider the established guys like the Bradys and the Rodgers and both Mannings
and
all the other guys, Rivers, Roethlisberger, Mike Vick, all those others, you know, how are you going to make a salient argument if we're talking about it just on talent, who truly belongs as in who's best for the job? How are you going to say with a straight face that there's 32 quarterbacks in the National Football League right now better than Vince Young? You couldn't even say the 64 and 96 quarterbacks were better than Vince Young. So you know when it really comes down to it, and don't give me that intangibles crap. Vince Young's intangibles were so off the wall. He won far more games than he lost, in spite of the fact that he had 46 touchdowns to 51 interceptions. So clearly, when it's pressure time, Vince Young knows how to perform to get the W because his win percentage of 61% is even better than Jay Cutler, somebody who they keep fawning over as being one of the young guns in the National Football League. That's bull, you know.
He's got
a better win percentage than Cutler and the guy who they really wanted to keep in the league as a scrub, who you saw firsthand in Oakland, in Matt Leinart. Just wrote 96 fears that there aren't 96 quarterbacks, there aren't 64 quarterbacks, and there's not 32 quarterbacks in the league right now that are better than Vince Young is, even in spite of his limbo or exile from the National Football League. They know that. They know it to be true. that those 31 wins and 19 losses stand up to everybody's record. And I mean everybody since he's been drafted in 2006.
Oh, I know. I want to add you. Okay, the
sure.
Michael Vick thing. Michael Vick is going on a book campaign, right? He wrote a book about.
Yeah.
And he's going on a national tour this summer. Now, these bright intelligent Americans like are going to protest everywhere Michael Vick shows up. Now, I think, wait a minute, you're going to protest a guy is going to do a book and the money is that he gets is going to the Humane Animal Shelter. What kind of nonsense? Nonsense. You have people going to the bookstore and go, bro, and they actually threaten
yep.
three book owners. I mean, come on.
Sure. Unfortunately, that's how it is. This mindset continues, and ironically, as we say this, Desi Cortez put another great piece up on the Black Athlete Sports website regarding Robert Griffin III and the trials and tribulations he had to deal with in having to handle not just Shanahan, but the whole D.C. thing, because to make the point in this column, if they call the president a nigger, you know they're going to call the signal caller in town a nigger as well. So, you know, Robert Griffin III isn't stupid. I mean, he obviously knows this stuff. But this is part of a hostility that will cause these guys to eat their own young. Because with these new rules, and if this atmosphere is allowed to continue to fester, if this atmosphere is continued to fester, you're going to have people turning off this game. They simply ain't gonna watch it, G.
Right.
You know, they're betting their popularity. They're betting the popularity of their game. You know, against these new tweakings that they're trying to pull off. But people aren't gonna watch this crap if it doesn't resemble real football.
Right.
And this stuff that they're trying to put out now, it ain't real football. And as fans, in spite of whatever money they're paying for those season tickets, if the fans find out that they're getting short shrifted when it comes to the real deal and who's on the field and the, not the best teams coming out there, because let's not forget, all the teams get an equal cut of the pie, whether it's TV money, blah, 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 whatever else on top of whatever they can make on their own.
Yep.
And it wasn't that long ago, Gary, we saw the Detroit Lions lose every damn game. I mean every damn game. When the smoke cleared, the Detroit Lions were still worth $900 million. They were worth even more than their division rival Minnesota Vikings, who had won 9 games that year. What does that tell you?
I'm right there with you, bro. Right there with you.
Something is rotten in Denmark or Detroit or wherever, but it's rotten in the cotton net. No matter how good or how bad the product is, people are paying for it. Well, people just won't do that anymore. And no matter how big the TV pie is, they're not going to see. When they see it's a smaller pie, somebody's going to have to wake up.
I need me to do another question. The Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, Reggie, you look like a Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, God.
And they signed Tony Romo to a multi-million-dollar contract. Are you out of your mind?
No. No, they're doing exactly what their attitude dictates. Listen, there's no way that the Dallas Cowboys would invest in a Geno Smith or Russell Wilson and all that. And I'm looking forward to Russell coming down there again and whipping their behind and every other black quarterback whipping their behind, because the Dallas Cowboys – are the corporate face of the kind of stuff we're talking about.
Yeah,
now
it is.
We know they're rednecks in D.C., but this you know, the fact that you either hate Dallas or you love Dallas, there's never any in between with Dallas. And I hate Dallas. But seriously, when you look at all of that, they are the true corporate face of hypocrisy.
Yeah,
it won't matter that their best players may be black. As long as they're not the quarterback, they're welcome in Dallas. If a black quarterback was welcome in Dallas, he's not going to be there as a star.
Did they have a quarterback a couple years ago? What was his name a couple years ago?
That was Quincy Carter.
Quincy Carter
was on the air. And then they tried to say that maybe because of something having to do with performance enhancing drugs or just recreational drugs, they didn't have any faith in Quincy. But the year that he was their quarterback, he got into a playoff. So, you decide. That's something maybe Cowboy Reggie would want to sink his teeth into, because I really don't give a rat's you know what about the Cowboys.
But
when you look at the face of the deal, though, it's another toilet paper contract, because they threw those big numbers out there. Whoa, $108 million. But
yeah,
it's really $55 million in solid cash. And if Tony Romo continues to play like Tony Romo, he's going to piss off more Cowboy fans than he would like to, because they know he won't make it to the playoffs. No, he'll be standing in line along with them looking to buy Super Bowl tickets, because he knows he's going to have to buy one, because he sure ain't going to be playing in one.
Okay, let's go South Florida. Daddy Ainge. That night, Daddy Ainge, the general manager of the Boston Celtics, had the gondazity.
By
LeBron James complaining about gauze on the floor. Now, Daddy Ainge, I am no fan of Daddy Ainge ever. He has the gauze of LeBron James out. And he complained about more gauze than anybody I ever seen.
For sure.
I'm just glad Pat Riley backed him up. I was like, yeah, thank you, Pat Riley.
Mm-hmm. He better back him up. That's his music. but seriously, aside from that, I made a point of not talking about the streak, because I knew when the streak ended, it was going to be, well, you know, super nigga. How come you didn't win 28 or 29
yeah,
or 30?
Yeah, yeah,
there was always
yeah.
going to be somebody
yeah.
who was going to say some off-the-wall nonsense when it came down to the streak. Never mind he's been playing lights-out basketball.
Yep.
Never mind that the Heat has been playing lights-out basketball and that now they've clinched the number one status. So everybody who wants to win, they're going to have to go down to South Beach to go and get it.
Mm-hmm.
None of that stuff matters, because you have these idiots who will sit there and wait and actually sit and conspire to say, what can we say about this guy? Or what can we do to stir the pot? I'm dead serious here. These cats sit in production waiting for something that they can make up in order to get the shitstorm going. There's no other way to say that. And LeBron, I saw the game where he started out the game after, and he was lighting folks up. If we see that LeBron in the playoffs, everybody can forget about it. The Heat will definitely repeat
because
you don't tug on Superman's cape. And I think they keep messing with this man child, he's going to go upside somebody's head. I don't mean in a physical way, like beating the crap out of them, but he will take it out on them in the basketball court. And
there will
be no doubt then about who wins the championship. I think the Miami Heat, with an even more motivated LeBron James after everything he's already done this season, I mean, how can you not make him the MVP? But we know we'll hear crap from Skip Bayless and some of the assholes who will sit there and ride somebody else's jock. James has carried the league in more ways than one for years, and he's just starting to get his props because he got his ring. but he was doing this long before.
The NBA, and ESPA can no longer deny. LeBron James, 3 years ago.
But they will. And they will because of things that we just saw, like with this nonsense here after the streak was over. Okay, so Chicago won. They played some hard defense. They bodied up on them, thumped them around a little bit. You know, now, will they call those kind of fouls in the playoffs? We don't know. But the long and short of it was that you would talk like that, and I'm not talking about the Bulls. The Bulls did what the Bulls were supposed to do. I'm talking about when you hear the analysis by the Danny Angels of the world and these other idiots who would talk this nonsense about LeBron. That's where the problem lies.
Michael, my thing is, what is Danny Angels, what is he got to do anyway? Well, he's not in Boston, but what is he got to do about this? He's in Boston.
Exactly, no, please. Danny Angels. He's straight up lightweight. No joke.
Anyway,
you know?
I gotta give my props out to Cinder Girl Serena Williams. Serena Williams beat Maria Sharapova in 3 sets today, and Serena owns Maria Sharapova, and she beat her 12 times. Maria only beat her only twice. This manhandled Maria Sharapova this morning.
Mm-hmm. Ain't no joke about that.
I'll give you your shameless plug here.
Mm-hmm.
We need your shameless plug.
Well, time for my shameless plug. Tomorrow night, we will have, as we do every last Sunday of the month, our music special. It will be the Rabbit Wub edition of the Beggar's Banquet. It will be Easter Begs. So all those who are looking for eggs and looking to bite the ears off the bunny, bring your tail to the tree and we'll take care of you, honey. From 9 p.m. to 11 on the East Coast, 6 to 8 on the West Coast, Easter Begs. We will handle your business, whether it be me or Marvin or anybody else as a surrogate beggar, 2 hours of romance, and adventures into underpants. So, the Beggar's Banquet tomorrow, 9 p.m., and we will be back with our normal rotation of the midweek hump day special at 9 p.m. Wednesday evenings, and our normal Saturday show, 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Pacific. And obviously, we are before Gary every Saturday.
Give your phone number on that show.
Yes, indeedy. The request line for the show, as for our talk show and, well, the music show tomorrow, 718-508-9216, 718-508-9216. If you feel so inclined, give us some love, send us a like. We're on Facebook, Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, just as it sounds. Check us out. You may like what you see and hear. And as always, Brother G, thank you for your assistance and not just being a good colleague, but a good friend and helping us keep our thing going and getting the information out there.
My Aggie guru, Michael Lewis Ingram, the Aggie master, your man. Thank you for the show,
brother. Brothers, signing off. Have a great weekend, everybody. And don't eat the ears on the bunny.
Okay.
But
take it, Ed. That's Michael Lewis Ingram. Don't read it wrong. You can join him every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time and 11 a.m. in the morning in the West Coast. Aggie Guru, those are the ice. I'm going to get last day of the week and then we'll move into the the NCAA on Saturday, as we talk about Danny Ainge and the UCLA Bruins, did not waste any time. They found a new basketball coach, Steve Alford, and a new basketball coach for the UCLA Bruins. I don't think of HBCU News, the basketball champion for 2013, mid-level winners, Benedict Tigers, played in Division II playoffs, and you already said the majors, and the University of A Tigers, the Lady Pirates, MEAC champions, and the men, the Norfolk State Spartans. That's your HBCU end of the year news. And nobody in the playoffs now. Everybody's home and watching TV. As we speak, Syracuse 25. Marquette 21 in the NCAA Game 1. Get down to the Final Four. And we move on.
Let's go, New York, the New York Knicks. Uh-huh. We are the New York Knicks.
Nuggets. What? Denver Nuggets. Indians, the AD Drake beat the Brooklyn Nets 109-87. And I think I'm gonna bet Denver in Denver. The San Antonio Spurs want to make a statement to the LA Clippers, and they beat the LA Clippers 104-102 in a great game I saw on TNT last night. Tim Duncan scored 37 points as they try to get the Western Division championship away from the Oklahoma City Thunder. As the Oklahoma City Thunder seen the fire has left the Thunder as they lose to the Minnesota Wild. As Thunder, I said a week ago, the Thunder misses Mr. Hardy, and Mr. Hardy is now playing for Houston. That was their smart. And now the OK City Thunder is just winning, winning games because of talent, not because of anything else. The Boston Celtics are just crushing it at the Hawks for the sixth spot. They're trying to catch it at the Hawks. They beat the Hawks 118-107. Leaving him one game behind the Atlanta Hawks. Paul Pierce got a triple-double last night. Boston 118, Atlanta 107. And there you have the NBA Friday night schedule.
Blackhawks had to make a decision.
who's going to be number one in that? Is it going to be Emery or is it going to be Crawford? Is it, I'll tell you, if they beat Crawford, they will not win the playoffs. Ray Emery is a better goalie, and he had experience. The New Jersey Devils, last night, the Devils are doing what they did all year long. The Devils had a two-goal lead, not once, but twice. And the Devils lose the game 5-4 in an overdrive shootout. And Martin Brodeur is not the old Martin Brodeur we all know and love. Martin Brodeur has lost one step, and the Devils refuse to admit that. Senator Yammer Yager might be wearing a different uniform by the end of the weekend. We don't know. The Dallas Stars are still jumping around. As the Dallas Stars beat the Minnesota Wild 5-3, as the Stars have scored with 3 goals in the third period. The Columbus Blue Jackets keep their little hopes alive with a 6-4 victory over the Calgary Flames. This was a complete effort because 9 guys have 1 point in each of the goals. So the Columbus Blue Jackets are 4 points out of the playoff spot. And we'll see what happens. My start of the week, number 3 start, is Stevens, the goalie from the Maple Leafs, who shot 42 shots in Tuesday, the Maple Leaf victory. Number two start of the week is my man, Gold Brother, Sugar Ray Emery. We sent out the Calgary Flames 2-0 on Tuesday night. Remained undefeated until last night. Number one star of the week is Winnipeg Gold Brother center Evander Kane. We got 4 points in the Winnipeg Jet victory over the Colorado Hurricanes. 4-1 on Tuesday night. There you have the NHL wrap up on the GLC. In the PGA, in the Arnold Palmer Mayo Classic, yeah, my man, Tiger Woods, Eldrick is back. And y'all better beware, because Eldrick is bad now, boy. I'm telling you, Eldrick reclaimed the number one spot. And it's going to be very difficult to get Tiger Woods out of the number one spot this time. So congratulations to Eldrick Tiger Woods, who won the Arnold Palmer Mayo Classic last week. There will be the show used to open this week at Humboldt without Tiger Woods. And 2 weeks will be the Masters. I'm betting that Mr. Woods will wear the green jacket at the end. At the end of the Masters. In the LPGA, they have a week off before they come to Southern California for the Grand Nabisco Championship in Rancho Mirage, California. In the PBA, the Pro Bowlers Association, they'll be in Indianapolis in the end of this week for the Eli's Cup for people over 60. And the Barbaros PBA Tournament will be on ESPN tomorrow. In tennis, we already discussed tennis as Serena Williams beat Maria Sharapova today. Ferreira beat Oz in the men's side, and they'll play tomorrow. The Davis Cup will be played. late in Idaho. The first month of April was to be next week. And the team was named on Tuesday. The Bryan brothers, the doubles, Sam Querrey, Gene Eisner, and Jim Courtier will take on the Serbians and Jokovic. In the IRL, James Inkliff of Canada replaced the writer for Danica Patrick and Dan Walden. And he wins the first race in 2013 in St. Petersburg, Florida. NASCAR. Now, look. Okay, enough. Stop the fighting. This is getting out of hand, and you want permission, you do. Raise the car. No fighting. Come on. Be serious. McConnell and Stewart crash. McConnell and Stewart crash. And Hamilton had to go to the hospital. The winner, Kyle Busch. And last week, Auto Club 400 in Petunia, California. Hamilton still suffering from a lower back fracture in the crash. And might be lost the rest of the season. And they my thing is Logano is a loose cannon. He needs to be pulled in and that you get out of it anymore. And not the first time Logano has done this. He needs to be reprimanded and suspended. And the NASCAR did nothing to this guy. Kyle Busch had a great weekend as he wins the Nationwide Series Royal Purple, so he had a double win on Saturday and Sunday last week. They're off this week. There you go. And that's the GLC for this week. I hope you enjoy it with Michael Lewis in the room. Cowboy Reggie coming in from WCLM. Michael Lewis in the room with Dope Radio and Raw. As always, the Bad, BadgerBad.biz, from North Carolina, and Pat Freeman from the Mighty Oba, and WUFO 1080 Buffalo, New York, and Roll Rogers, Lazy Roll Rogers, CEO of BSN, New York City, New York, Doreen Wade, the New England Informer Magazine, CEO of Buzz Massachusetts, and of course, see you by the Rose Market, Elsinore, California. So I hope you guys have a good Easter. Hope the weather is clear for you guys to get ready out here. Thank you for the support, the 609 and 707. And come visit the Cove next week for more political, social, and disabled American issues. Have a good week. Have a good weekend. I want my girl to go over here. Miss Alicia Keys. Of course.
So how does it feel?
It's New York. Miss Alicia Keys. Have a good weekend.